It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
High noon in Vegas, Nighttime at Noon. Dave Gosher, Shane Knight, you got the controls today, for better or worse. And great to have you with us as the Golden Knights await their opponent in the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, round two. Big show ahead today, Shane. I know you're excited about it. We've got if we could keep you up, that would be terrific.
I'm ready to roll.
Yep. We are expected to be joined by Alex Tuck from the Bubble in Edmonton, who had a fantastic first-round series, and as well as a round robin. We're also going to get into a little bit of the Hawks series, the Golden Knights' ability to knock them off in five games. We'll take a look around the Stanley Cup playoffs a little bit later. No games today until 5 o'clock. I don't know what I'm going to do all day.
It seems weird because it's, you know, it's not the normal, but right now the new normal is hockey all day long, and it's a little strange that, you know, we don't have hockey. I'm used to getting up, and by noon I'm watching hockey.
Right.
But today's a little different as we're starting to dwindle down on teams and series are being closed out.
Well, there's some teams that were leaving the bubble yesterday, and as we said, we'll take a look around the playoffs in a little bit. Alex Tuck is going to join us in our second part of the show. So we look forward to talking to Alex. Kelly McCrimmon, the Golden Knights GM, just did his media availability between series and had a lot of good things to say about Alex Tuck, Alec Martinez, the team's ability to get into phase three in terrific condition and make it where they could really hit the ground running for playoffs. And that has shown, Shane, as we kind of take a look at how the Golden Knights were able to knock out the Hawks in five games, and especially, you know, the Golden Knights in their third periods, right? They've been dominant most of the playoffs. They've outscored teams 11-3. Tuck had the only goal in game five the other night, but, you know, Kelly McCrimmon saying, and we've seen this as this group's kind of gone from phase one, phase two to phase three. He attributed a lot of that to the work they did as a group before they got to phase three in training camps.
Well, I think that's true, and we've talked about that a lot. I think the conditioning of these guys and the commitment of the Golden Knights players when they came into phase two, so many guys staying around Vegas, they were ready to roll. We've talked about, and they had, when the pause happened, a lot of guys were unsure. You know, you wait a couple weeks, then they dispersed around most teams. In Vegas, they stayed, and it's interesting to me, the whole concept, because there was a mindset with them that they believed if they could get back, they wanted to be ready because they had a chance to win the Stanley Cup collectively as a group. And that's remarkable in a sense, as they stayed, they were ready as they hit the phases. Phase two, when it came time to get on the ice, just about everybody was here. And that lens, that you're seeing it now in the third period, I think that's part of it. And Kelly McCrimmon touched on the other part, that game against Dallas in the round robin. When they came back, didn't play well, and then all of a sudden the switch flipped and they dominated the third period against the Stars to win that game. And that built a confidence that you're never out of it as a team. And I know I get repetitive talking about confidence, how important, but it is, both individually and as a team, to have confidence not only in yourself but in certain situations in a game. And now I think they feel they're never out of the game. And we've seen that from this team, even winning game five, coming from behind, their ability not to quit, that there's a belief in that room that whatever the circumstance, the situation in the game, they will find a way to come out on top, and that's very powerful.
Golden Knights rallied from two goals down twice in the round robin, and then you mentioned, Shane, so they go down 2-0 in game five on Tuesday, and you know, we've been around this long enough to, you can feel when a team has a significant lead in a series, 3-0, 3-1, the longer it takes to close it out, the more tense it gets.
Pressure.
Yes. And they're sitting there down 2-0 the other night, and all of a sudden within, 18, 20 seconds, whatever it was, Max Pacioretty comes right back and with a real quick goal late in the period before the period was out to get them on the scoreboard. And you know, you mentioned down 2-0, but they were able to stop the momentum just like that for the Hawks. And then, you know, even fell behind 3-2 later on in that game. Got a big goal from Alec Martinez on the power play. It just seemed like whenever they hit adversity, not all the time. I mean, look, they lost game four, but most of the time they were able to handle it with ease.
Well, and the importance of that Patch Ready goal can't be overstated, because you're just about to head into that first intermission. If you're down two, the feeling's a little different than scoring late, and all of a sudden there's some life. You got some energy, and then you come out in the second period, you carry a bit of that momentum, and sure enough, Mark Stone able to tie it up early in period number two. So that shows Pacioretty's goal gives them that boost, that lift they needed at the end of 20 minutes, and then they're able to carry that on into period two, and it becomes a whole new game.
Yesterday, Golden Knights coach Pete DeBoer joined the Insider Show, Ryan Wallace and Darren Millard, and he touched on what he's seen from his team so far here in the playoffs.
You know what? I saw a group that really didn't panic, and we faced some adversity, a lot of in-game adversity. I think the last three games we've been behind in games. In the round robin, we were behind in the third period in two of the games. And they stuck with it, and there was no panic. There was a quiet confidence to the group that. If they stuck with it, that good things would happen, and they have. So I think composure and a quiet confidence to them, is definitely something that I've noticed and has been essential so far.
Yeah, the best players really kind of took over, Shane, when you look at it. Max Pacioretty, his best game of the playoffs, starting to find his game a bit, but skating, attacking, his ability to be a threat on the ice. You look at that top line, Pacioretty, Carlson, Stone, they combined for 5 points and a plus six in the clinching game. If you think about it, they're two best players all year, most consistent players, I guess, Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty. Riley Smith, I guess, would certainly be in that conversation, but just to keep it to Stone and Pacioretty, when they're down 2-0, Pacioretty scores to make it 2-1 late in the first. Stone scores early in the second to make it 2-2.
And that's exactly what needs to happen. You look to your leaders, you look to your best players, and those guys expect themselves to produce every game, but that's not going to happen. And you need them in especially the big moments, and that's exactly what happened. I think Pacioretty more comfortable. He missed a lot of time when guys were getting back into it, so it's kind of, he's delayed. We've seen him get better every game in this last game. Game five was his best game by far. Mark Stone, I think consistent from him, that whether he produces or not, he does so many things on the ice. And this team, and just to follow up on what Pete said to the guys yesterday, really sticks in my mind. When you normal playoffs without the pause, you come off a regular season where everything's in the memory bank of certain ways how to win games, whether, he mentioned the obstacles that you have to overcome or the adversity in game, because not every game looks the same. You have to find different ways to win, and the Golden Knights really did that through this five-game series, which is important because now they've reloaded that memory bank. All right, we've been in this situation. This is what we've been able to react to that and find success. Or no, here, whether it's a lead, whether it's from behind, whether you're hanging on, or whether you're grinding it out, because not every game is going to be perfect. So winning different ways has really been beneficial, and I think it'll help them going forward into round two. It's not going to get easier. You're going to try and build on everything you can, but with that pause, you have to kind of reload, rebuild everything, your game from a short period of time, and I think they've been able to do that, which is hopefully going to be very beneficial.
Kelly McCrimmon just finished his media availability, as we said, not long ago. The thing he touched on right off the bat, Shane, is, it's not easy to win playoff series.
No.
And now they've won four in the history of the team. And
ask Pittsburgh and Edmonton.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. So they go into the bubble, and they've been there 3 weeks now, over 3 weeks, I guess, three and a half. With 24 teams in the expanded format, soon you're going to be down to the final eight. And here they are, the Golden Knights, in that group of the final eight. To be determined who they're going to play. They'll play the lowest remaining seed, which would be
three teams.
Three teams, yeah. They could play.
Well, it's Calgary.
If Calgary wins.
Calgary wins, it would be them automatically.
Yes.
If not, then it's the winner of St. Louis and Vancouver.
Yeah. So.
So if Dallas locks it up tonight, everybody can tune in and watch the Blues and the Canucks, because it'll be the winner of that series they would face.
Yeah, and if Calgary were to come back and win that series, down 3-2, if the Flames come back and win, it'll automatically be Calgary. But as we say, the Golden Knights have put themselves into the final eight. Another player I wanted to touch on, Shane, from this playoff run so far, the play of Alec Martinez.
Oh.
It's been fantastic. You know, and somebody that so leads the league, tied for the league lead at a +8 in the playoffs. But the offense is one thing, the power play goal the other night, but his poise.
That's the word.
With the puck, right? Under pressure, in his own zone, also made some big blocks. He's been as advertised and more when you look at, you know, some of the high pressure games and obviously able to deliver in the biggest moments in the playoffs in his career with Los Angeles.
His playoff experience, his two Stanley Cups really just jumped through the screen because we're watching, not from the ice, but the way he plays. I think he used the keyword poise, steady. In all situations, you can use them, and I think it's great having him and Theodore as a partner. They're just that's a perfect match, the two of them. They complement each other so well. But Martina, you watch everything, so yeah, the block shots, which you know the grit to his game. I didn't know, you know, before him coming in that he had as much. His offensive abilities now have started to take over. He had that earlier in his career. Now you can see it again, plugged into this Vegas team. But his poise. And you mentioned the plays he makes under pressure. There's no panic to his game. He's not afraid to make the difficult play. There's puck support. His ability to take a puck off a wall battle, throw it into the middle of the ice to a Golden Knight player for them to have a clean, effective breakout. He's done it numerous times. He just sees the ice well. He's taken his game up another level here in playoffs, and that's what you need to do when you see those experienced players, and then that just kind of filters through the team, and I think it really rubs off on Shea Theodore a lot.
Kelly McCrimmon was asked about Martinez, and he said, obviously they saw a lot of him, you know, the close proximity and how often the Golden Knights have played the Kings over the last few years. But he said an important part of trying to decide whether you should acquire a player or not is you have to project how he's going to fit into your environment and how he's going to fit into your team. The other side of that is I think it's hard sometimes, Shannon, you could probably speak to this. If you're on a team that is struggling or a team that's not going to be in the playoffs, I would think that's going to be hard for a player. That can be a grind at times when you know you're not going to go to the playoffs. They had to project, like a lot of teams do, okay, if you took him off that team and put him on this team, how would he be?
And that's exactly, you know, what Kelly McCrimmon, George McPhee, and he mentioned their pro scouting staff who watch all these games, who, you know, have reports on Martinez, his strengths, you know, his intangibles that he brings to the game. And, okay, now let's project, as you said, and Kelly McCrimmon used the word, project how that will look in our lineup. We surround him with the talent we have, with the structure we play. How will Martinez look? And, well, looks really good.
So far, he's been excellent.
And I wouldn't, you know, I'd go as far to say they also probably looked, how would he look with a player like Shea Theodore, who has this elite offensive talent? They projected the right way because he's been. I thought he was their best defenseman in this first round.
Leads the team in ice time, Alec Martinez, so far, 23 minutes and 28 seconds per night as the Golden Knights await round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. A reminder for you, friends, that the Golden Knights, of course, have their very own license plate, and what better way to show your spirit no matter where you are in Nevada than with the Vegas Golden Knights license plate. A VGK plate is a great way to night up your vehicle and show everyone on the road what team you root for. Go to dmvnv.com/plates today to show your pride. Nighttime at noon on this Thursday with Dave and Shane this afternoon. When we come back, we will be joined by the Golden Knights' Alex Tuck on Fox Sports Radio, Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty with you on Nighttime at Noon, and we encourage you to send in your questions on Twitter using the hashtag Nighttime at Noon. In the final segment of the show, we will get to as many as we can. We are changing on the fly here. Alex Tuck was going to join us in this segment, but we're going to bump it about 13, 14 minutes up in the bubble, so we're going to get Alex on the phone. But don't worry, we'll you'll hear from him.
We're hoping to get him.
Just
got
in our next.
Going on.
He's busy. A lot busier than we are.
I was going to say, busier than us.
So anyway, we decided, therefore, we'll take a look around the Stanley Cup playoff, Shane. And we said it's odd, right? We're sitting here used to five games a day. Now there's only two games today. Nothing until 5 o'clock Pacific. So We're just going to have to pass the time. But two series going on a little bit later. Maybe we'll start in the West. We touched on it earlier. Stars, Flames, Dallas up 3-2, and a chance to close this out. You see how quickly things can change in the playoffs, right, where Calgary had a chance to go up 3-1 in game four and couldn't close that game out.
No, 11 seconds left. Golden Knights fans know very well. Joe Pavelski, now a Dallas Star, put up the hat trick in that game to tie it. And Dallas Stars flipped the momentum of the whole series with that. Instead of 3-1 for the Flames, tied the series at 2-1. The next game, now they have a chance to close it out tonight. Flames have been out without one of their best players, Matthew Tkachuk, which is certainly not help that team. It'll be interesting because, you know, as Golden Knights, we watch the Western Conference a little more closely when watching this series. Dallas, who is number two defensively in the year goals against in the National Hockey League, this series has been wide open. It's been like, who scores next? It's been a very heavily offensive series. You know, I think that's one thing you want to watch, to see what the tendencies of these teams are as we get ready to move along in the playoffs, especially watching the Golden Knights. But it's been a very entertaining series. I will be tuned in tonight.
Anton Hudobin has led the way in net for
Bishop's
Dallas.
Bishop's been out, so
right?
It's been
Joe Pavelski, 5 goals. You mentioned the hat trick in game four. Tyler Seguin, no goals, but a real nice setup the other day and a goal from Jamie Benn, but he's yet to score so far in the playoffs.
Yeah, Dallas is, you know, looking, even Jamie Benn, to get those guys going. Radulov, some of the key guys that have led them offensively. A lot of it has come from their defensemen, Klingberg and Haskinen.
Yeah.
Two really offensive-minded D-men. Oleksiak, who, you know, big defenseman at 6'7", has scored some big goals. Very active from their blue line in Dallas that provided it. But, yeah, if they're going to have success, what makes them dangerous is that those top guys that have really led the way but have been quiet so far for Dallas and Seguin and Ben.
Yeah, Miro Heiskanen leads the Stars with 8 points so far in the playoffs. The other game later today in the East, the Islanders and the Capitals. Islanders up 3-1. They looked like they were going to close it out in a sweep the other day, right? They grabbed the 2-0 lead early. Ovechkin comes back with a couple of big goals. And I couldn't believe it, Shane, when I saw this, and I was kind of just going through some things the other day. So they win. The Capitals do 3-2 in game four to stay alive. It's their first time in the playoffs, round robin or first round, they've scored more than 2 goals. All that talent and I know
they're missing.
Yes, Nick Backstrom.
It shows the importance of Nick Backstrom. I know we talk Kuznetsov, we talk Ovechkin, you talk Oshie. They've got guys that can finish. Nick Backstrom is one of the best distributors of the puck in the NHL and has been for a long, long time. The Capitals really miss him. The other fact, Samsonov, their goalie, who, you know, Braden Holtby, everybody's talking, this will probably be his last run with the Capitals, is Samsonov will be the goalie going forward for Washington. So he has been out. You know, a couple of key pieces for the Capitals, but we were talking earlier about how your best players need to lead the way. That's what happened, is they're able to fend off a sweep as Alex Ovechkin stepped up with a pair of goals.
Well, they'll have to do it again. The Capitals will again today to avoid elimination. Let's touch on some games from yesterday and what was the final game last night.
Oh,
Vancouver Canucks, right? They've got the Blues on the verge of elimination. Vancouver with a 4-3 win last night to go up 3-2. They erased a 2-goal deficit on the way to winning.
Yeah, it really reminded me a little bit of the Golden Knights game five. The down 2 goals. Canucks didn't have much going, and, you know, depth players. Tyler Mott, a pair of goals. He was effective in that game, just constantly under the skin. Even got David Perron a little bit rattled. They were just battling back. It's been a great series. It's one series I didn't think I would, you know, be that involved watching, but, yeah, I can't wait to watch it. I think I'll give the Vancouver Canucks young talent. They've got some real special young players. Quinn Hughes on the blue line, Bo Horvat's turning into a real power forward. Elias Pettersson, tremendous up front. JT Miller has been a great pickup for them for Vancouver. St. Louis, you know, this is the team that won. Ryan O'Reilly, David Perron, those two are very, very dangerous for the Blues up front. But credit to the Canucks, able to come back. Big win for them as able to grab the 3-2 lead. That's probably one series we didn't see going that way, but St. Louis right now fighting for their lives.
Yeah, Travis Green put together Pedersen, Miller, and Bertanen last night.
Bertanen scored a...
That paid off.
Well, the thing the Blues, which wasn't an issue last year, was Binnington carried the weight. You know, a couple of goals on Allen last night. Binnington struggled earlier in the season, earlier in the series. Binnington's taken the net, Allen, excuse me. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I got you. I knew where
Anyways,
you were going.
Between Binnington and Allen, they're going to need – it would be interesting. Who do you think he goes with the next game?
I would say Allen, because Binnington just isn't – he's 0-4, goals against of over 4.
He just struggled.
Yeah, it seems like he just hasn't – whatever magic he had last year that is eluding him right now. Back to the East, Boston knocks out Carolina in 5 games. They win it yesterday over the Hurricanes and knock them out of the playoffs. And the Bruins go 3-0 with Jaro Halak in net, right? Tuukka Rask opts out before game 3. Andrei Svechnikov, obviously a huge loss for Carolina, but the Bruins run the table with Halak in net, winning games 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, the Bruins just back. I forgot to mention Jacob Markstrom for the Canucks.
Yes.
The goaltender.
36 saves last night.
Yeah, and I saw a stat today. His 5-on-5 save percentage is .953.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad. Yep. So anyways, moving on to the – yeah, Markstrom's been the key factor for the Canucks in that whole series. Had a tremendous season as well.
And then often goaltending is a story in the playoffs. We mentioned Halak with Boston coming in. You know, the huge part of that series, obviously game 4, the Bruins are down 2-0 going into the third period, and they come out and they score 4 goals in under 7 minutes.
Well, the Hurricanes, maybe their worst period. They picked the wrong time to have it as the Bruins – and that's – that's their experience. I think the Bruins just realized they needed to get to it. Boston's, you know, they're one of the top teams in the East, and everybody figured it'd be that way. The Hurricanes also some injuries. They lost Svechnikov. It's a huge loss for them. He got injured, ugly looking one, just tangled up. Pretty innocent play with Chara. Jordan Staal left the previous game. He took a big hit from McAvoy. But the Bruins able to get it done. Halak talk about the importance of 2 goalies. You know, Tuukka Rask leaves for personal reasons the bubble, and Jaroslav Halak able to step up. They have a lot of confidence, just like Hudobin has stepped up in Dallas.
Tampa Bay Lightning, they exercise some demons. Of course, they were swept last year, stunning fashion by Columbus. Yesterday, Tampa Bay eliminated Columbus in 5 in overtime.
Point wins that faceoff. Shattenkirk lifts it out. Knocked down by Savard. Guides it out to center. Fired back in by Shattenkirk. Korpisalo finds Savard. Out of the reach of Gavrikov in front. Points him up. He's gone! Braden Point has won the series for the Lightning. 5-4 in overtime. Braden Point scores at 5:12 of the first overtime. John Cooper in Tampa Bay moving on in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And that is the great Rick Peckham, Tampa Bay Lightning TV announcer. He's moving on as well into retirement, but what a great run he had. Of course, I remember first kind of clicking into Rick. He was a longtime voice of the Hartford Whalers and then eventually going to Tampa Bay. The Foster Hewitt Award this year will be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. But what a way to go out. And for the Lightning, Braden Point scores the 5 overtime goal and then the overtime goal yesterday to win the series.
A massive mental hurdle for the Tampa Bay Lightning. After what happened last year, their historic regular season, and then boom, you're out in round 1 to the Columbus Blue Jackets. This was a great series. The Columbus Blue Jackets, I think I was talking with Darren Millard, and I kind of compared it. It was like a Rocky IV. It was like Drago fighting Rocky. It's like, what do I got to do to beat these guys? Like the Columbus Blue Jackets just, they fight. There's no quit. We saw the one game go 5 overtimes. The Blue Jackets, though, just don't have that star power that the Tampa Bay Lightning have. And you certainly saw it, Tampa being able to do it with one of their best in Steven Stamkos. But Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov, 2 guys that certainly can carry it. And they were instrumental. Point with both overtime goals, both massive goals. And Tampa will be – this was a huge win and a big sigh of relief. You could see it on John Cooper, the way he celebrated after. They were just the relief. I don't think you can speak enough about for Tampa after what happened. And the Columbus Blue Jackets have kind of been the thorn in the side for them.
He had a real good line afterwards. He said, we only had 422 days to think about what happened last year. But they do it yesterday. Crazy game. They're up 2-0, trail 4-2. Anthony Cirelli scores late with about a minute and a half left to tie the game, and then point goes on to win it in overtime. Not breaking news, Shane, Colorado's got a good team. Avalanche just destroyed the Coyotes in the last two games. Back-to-back 7-1 wins, 14 goals in two games. They advance. The Coyotes knocked out in five games. Nathan MacKinnon, 10 points in the series, but it was just
dominant.
The last two games, it was just bananas. Back-to-back 7-1 wins and on to round two for the Avs.
Well, and you don't like to look too far ahead, but certainly I think the only way to get to a final, whoever it is going to be through the Colorado Avalanche. They look at the top of their game right now. They're firing in all cylinders. They are a four-line team, defensively strong. They got the goaltending. There's not many weaknesses to this team, and Nathan MacKinnon right now, to me, is the best player in the NHL. You know, Connor McDavid's out. The way Nathan MacKinnon's playing, his speed, his quickness. And I remember talking to Nate Schmidt earlier about defending. He said, you know, Connor McDavid, he said, Nate MacKinnon, there's not much difference. They're both equally as hard to defend. MacKinnon, I think, has got a little more size to him. I don't know if he has the flat-out straight speed, but he's got just as much quickness and speed to his game. Nazem Kadri's been an excellent player for them in playoffs. You watch the Avalanche play, and they certainly manhandled the Coyotes.
And one final game to touch on from yesterday, Montreal Canadiens hanging in there. They knock off the Flyers 5-3 to stay alive, and the game winner from?
Nick Suzuki. Yes, the Golden Knights draft pick, trade for Max Pacioretty, and it's one of those things, a young player, you're going to get every opportunity you can on a team that's rebuilding like the Montreal Canadiens, and this team is, they shocked everyone beating the Pittsburgh Penguins in the play-in round, and now here you are in round one, Philadelphia Flyers, who a lot of people considered, who won the number one seed through round-robin play in the East, and the Montreal Canadiens aren't going away easily, a huge win, Carey Price made some big saves. And this is a big win because the Canadians were shut out back-to-back games, could not find any offense. I think scoring first was a big relief for them in that game. That was something they needed to do. Brendan Gallagher, who was benched in the previous game, who's really the spark of that team, he came out and had a tremendous effort, hard-working, into every pile, agitating. He was kind of the emotional leader for them in a big win.
They've been able to do it, the Flyers, so far in the playoffs, without some of their best offensive players scoring. Sean Couturier, no goals. Claude Giroux, no goals. Kevin Hayes, no goals. Now, Hayes and Couturier have 5 assists. Giroux has 4, but still, Travis Konechny, no goals. Others that have scored, though, Voracek has 4, Lawton has 3.
There was a couple of games Farabee that looked like 3. We were watching New Jersey in the early 2000s. If there was one series that was extremely boring for, a few games, it was those two shutout games. There was nothing happening at all. It's like the Flyers just locked down. They wanted to play, early 2000 Devils hockey, which is effective, not exciting. And it worked, and then Montreal finally able to open that game up a little more, and yesterday's game a lot more exciting.
So that's 3-2 for the Flyers. They still have a chance, obviously, to close that out, but as we mentioned, just two games later today, Game 5 between the Capitals and the Islanders. Islanders up 3-1, and Game 6 between the Stars and the Flames. The Stars can close it out with a win. Nighttime at noon on this Thursday with Dave Gosher and Shane Knighty. We'll step aside, and we're expected to be joined by the Golden Knights' Alex Tuck when we come back on Fox Sports Radio Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, there's likely pros and cons to the situation that we have. Of course, the guys are separated from their families, and we're in a bubble. It's called that for a reason. So we're confined to where we're able to go and what we're able to do. But with respect to distractions, yeah, it's hockey all day, every day. And I think that part has been really good for our players. As it goes along, the teams that are able to, work their way through round two, round three, get to the Stanley Cup finals, that'll be an ongoing dynamic with this situation, is just as those days continue to accumulate with how long people have been here. And yet the longer you're here, the more encouraging it is with respect to the reason that we came. So, how that shakes out, I guess, is something that we'll see in time. But
that was Kelly McCrimmon, the Golden Knights general manager, meeting with the media early today from the bubble in Edmonton. 3.5 weeks already for the Golden Knights, among other teams in the bubble, and they're hoping they're there for another six, right? Early October.
Yeah, there's a lot of work left to be done. And, for Kelly McCrimmon, I think it's been advantageous for a lot of these general managers to, and hockey ops that are there to watch hockey live. Normally, they would have been that first round between Vegas and Chicago, and then trying to keep tabs on possible opponents, the other series, through video. Well, here they get to go live. They walk, across the street into the bubble of the arena and watch these hockeys. It's a great way for them, for him, not only watch hockey, but to evaluate, to look at teams, to look at their tendencies, see what they're doing. I think, these guys are hockey men. This is perfect. The other thing, Kelly McCrimmon, who spoke earlier, I marked down a note. He said, says the longer you're in here, the more new normal it becomes. I think you adjust to the situation, and the players adjust to the no fans, and feels the hockey is getting better and better because they're more comfortable in that atmosphere.
Golden Knights, of course, awaiting their second round opponent. They can have a little time here. I mean, you could be looking at next Tuesday or Wednesday, right? Theoretically, before they get going again. Depends on what's today, Thursday?
Thursday, Friday. They need tomorrow's game to see. Could be done tomorrow.
Yeah, early next week anyway.
Early next week.
But they're going to have – they finish their series off on Tuesday, so could be a week-ish before they play again. We're going to take some of your questions. Alex Tuckle joined us before the program is out. Questions with the hashtag nighttime at noon, and along the line, Shane, of predictions for which team the Golden Knights will take on in round two and what would be the best and worst matchups for the Golden Knights in round number two.
Well, I don't know if I can go through everyone. I think let's say Dallas wins tonight. So then we'll talk between the Blues and the Canucks. You're talking about completely different teams. You've got a Canucks team that's, maybe not as much pressure on them. They're just playing. I think they've got more speed, a little more dynamic to their game. There's some areas they rely heavily on their goaltender. The Blues are the type of team, fear them a little bit more because they won last year. They're the Stanley Cup champions. They know how to lock down a game. It'll be a hard, heavy game against the Blues. It'll be more of a grind, fight for space, where I think it'll be a little more open against the Vancouver Canucks and maybe could take advantage. Nothing is going to be easy, certainly this time of the year, and Vancouver is certainly showing that as they've played very, very well. But certainly kind of two different teams between the Canucks and the Blues, and I think that's a great thing about the makeup of the Golden Knights and what we hear not only from them but from opposition. Vegas has the ability to play and to win different ways. They can play a different style of game, so they're able to match up against a lot of opponents.
Another question on the Twitters, Shane. What a fan base we have now discussing heated goaltending debates and who should play in net for the Golden Knights. We're officially a hockey town, and that kind of dovetails into a question from another listener as to why Pete DeBoer continues to stick with Robin Leonard.
It's a feeling a coach has. That's why.
And Leonard's gone 8-1.
He's gone 8-1.
So if the name of the game is winning, and that's taking the sentimentality out of it, and how we all feel for Marc-Andre Fleury, and it's hard to quarrel with the results. Kelly McCrimmon was asked about the effect Pete DeBoer's had on this team, and the question was asked about in the playoffs, but he took it back to more his effect and impact since he took over the team in the middle of January. And he felt that their attention to detail and the team continuing to grow and get better as they've gone on now. You know, pause.
Constant
or no
improvement.
Pause. Yes.
That was the word that Kelly used. He said that's what you look for is constant improvement. And the results and the record speak for themselves.
Yeah, no question about it. So that is, I think, certainly part of the reason. Another question, can Shane wear a stovetop hat for us and tweet a picture of it?
What's a stovetop hat? Like the chef hat?
No, well, the hashtag in this is Honest Abe. Abe Lincoln?
Oh, Abe Lincoln.
Used to wear the stovetop. I think they're thinking with the beard and everything. And,
oh, my beard. Yeah. It's a little different. I know earlier I had, it was a little more Abe looking.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of just growth.
President Lincoln didn't have the mustache, though. He just went with the beard look. I think that would look
maybe
good.
Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should just shave it up like that. Why not?
That would look fantastic. Here's one for me, Shane. Dave, I heard you're retiring.
Yes. Was
Tuesday your last call? Say it ain't so. 2 points. A, I'm too young to retire. B, I don't have enough money to retire. C, I don't have any interest in retiring. So, no, that is not accurate.
Dave was just signing off the end of our year.
Yes.
We both had to listen to it because I was like, what did you say? And then maybe it was me. I joked it was me that started the rumor.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be above me to say something stupid. I've done it many times, but no.
Yeah, Dave's not going anywhere.
No.
I'm not going to let him go.
I don't know. If people are trying to get rid of me, I don't know where I'd go.
I can't train another partner.
Just go home and do nothing. I can't do that. Way too early for that. Let's see here, Shane. We got any other? Nothing. Nothing really too that floats the boat too much here. I did want to touch on. We did mention this. This gap between series, and I know you've been on teams that have gone through this. You went around relatively quickly, and then you've got some time. I'm wondering the challenges that the bubble scenario presents. I don't know if there's options for these guys. Maybe, you know, they knock on wood. The NHL's done a fantastic job in terms of zero positives, COVID tests in this whole stretch of phase three and now into the playoffs. You know, would they have the ability maybe to get out and play a little golf, do things outside the bubble just a little bit in a safe manner?
So that's the challenge. They've got to have the right mix of getting away from the game yet being locked in when they need to be. Practice time is going to be important. You need to have good, crisp, clean, you know, practices where you get yourself ready. You stay ready. You stay sharp. But you've got to get away from the game, and you got to do it as a group. I think that's maybe one positive is this. There's no distraction. They're together. They're locked in, but you got to have fun. And I think we know there's a fun committee for the Golden Knights. I think you look at the personalities and the makeup of this Golden Knights team, they're a close-knit group. You've got to know when to enjoy your time, when to have the fun, and then you got to know when to be serious. And that's going to be very important here throughout this bit of a layoff before they get ready for round two. And I think they have the right personnel that can handle it the right way. To make sure they are ready.
One last note on the retirement thing. Somebody just texted me that I know very well and said, certainly your wife does not want you home all the time. It might have been from her. She's
well,
got
true.
Enough problems.
Yeah, that would.
The last thing she would need is this knucklehead around 24/7. The pandemic's bad enough. Can you imagine for whatever down the road? I mean, my heavens. Nighttime and noon with Dave and Shane. As we said, some of your questions, we appreciate all of them. We will try and get Shane into the stovetop hat for you. That would be great. I think most of your costumes are pretty snappy. I think that would be.
I don't have a stovetop hat.
No, we can get you. I mean, you can get anything. We're in Vegas. We can get anything you want here. But in any event, nighttime at noon continues. More in a moment on Fox Sports Radio Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Dave Grosher, Shane Knighty with you from our studios in Vegas. Nighttime at Noon as the Golden Knights sitting and waiting for round number two of the Stanley Cup playoffs to get underway at some point next week. We're happy to be joined on the show from the bubble in Edmonton by the Golden Knights' Alex Tuck. Alex, what's going on up there? How are you spending the time in the bubble here awaiting round two?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit contained, and they're doing a really good job up here, first and foremost, with making sure that everyone's been tested and healthy and meeting the standards and everything like that. But There's been a lot of hockey, a lot of hockey watching when you're not playing. We've been playing a lot of cards. I think pretty much most guys have brought an Xbox or PlayStation, so a lot of video games. And lately, we've been trying to kind of get out of the hotel and do some team excursions, either go to a turf field that's secluded just for us, or maybe go to a restaurant that they close down and wipe down and make sure it's all good. But I think the league and our team has done a really good job of that so far for us.
Dave and I were just talking about Alex, and I was saying, he asked me how do you guys stay focused in a layoff like this, and I said it's kind of got to be a mix of trying to find that fun, and then yet when you need to be serious and on the ice and practice and locked in, you're able to do that. Is that kind of maybe the message you guys have as a group?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's almost easier at times for guys to stay focused because we are in a bubble where it's just the team. You're always around your teammates, and there's hockey on all the time. So you always have hockey in the back of your mind. So it's been easier to focus, I think. There's no outside distractions. No one coming to visit, no family or friends or anything like that trying to come to playoff games. So that part of it's kind of nice. Obviously, you miss your family and your friends and your loved ones. But it's I think our team's done a really good job of staying focused and making sure we're prepared every game.
Alex, you mentioned that there's some opportunities for you guys to get a little bit outside the bubble. We had some footage on our broadcast the other night. You guys were over at the Edmonton CFL field, and Nick Holden kicked a 50-yard field goal, like right down the chute. Can you do that?
I personally cannot. I think he might have made a 60-yard.
60?
I know he did. He did make a 55-yard. They didn't get that one on video, but he did make a 55. It was probably one of the most impressive things I've seen, not only Nick, but anyone do. Ever, especially when it's not even close to your sport. But we did a little kickball game, and that guy can kick a ball really far.
Well, there's a hidden talent no one had any clue about. That is impressive. Well, let's talk about hockey. How are you feeling? Impressive performance. And I know personally, I watched you, Alex. You played some great games, but I was mentioning in the last game, I think this is the best six periods I've seen you play the last two. What do you maybe benefit that towards?
I mean, first and foremost, my teammates have been unbelievable. They've been playing really well. My line mates have been playing well. I think we found a lot of chemistry. And then if you go into our coaching staff and management, they've given me a lot of confidence and allowed me to try to play to my full potential. And it's been good. We've been having a lot of fun out there. I know we weren't able to win game four, but our team felt like we dominated, and the shots showed that we just weren't able to put the puck in the back of the net. But you know what? I think we stuck to our game in game five, and we played a really good game, and we were able to squeak out a win there, and we thought we deserved it. It's been, like I said, it's been fun. It's been we've been playing Vegas Golden Knights hockey, and that's what we want to continue going forward.
And I know nobody wanted the pause, but do you think that was maybe something that benefited you as an athlete and as a player to kind of reset, and you used it wisely to get stronger?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, obviously I've had some injury troubles this regular season that I'm trying to put in the back burner there, and I think that the pause has really allowed me to do so and come back fully healthy and ready to go and kind of reset and forget about my lack of production during the regular season, really focus on being the best that I can be in the playoffs. And I think I've done a good job so far. I want to continue to build off that and be even better for my teammates.
You mentioned, Alex, you dropped 10 pounds during the pause. I guess a two-part question. How did you go about doing it? And since you have dropped 10 pounds, do you feel different on the ice?
First I cut out all sugary beverages, which was and a lot of just unnecessary carbs and sugar. I was ate less red meat than I would usually do in season, and I've kind of stuck to that as much as possible. So I think that really helped me a lot. And the 10 pounds, I just felt more fresh on the ice, just like I had. My legs were better on a more consistent basis during my rehab skates, and into training camp, and obviously now into the playoffs, I feel really good. And I've been able to maintain my body, my preferred body weight, and so it's been pretty easy for me, I feel like. And I think it's just made hockey a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable, and I found some success with it too.
Well, it certainly didn't take any of the power away, especially after that goalie you scored last game. But also, you mentioned earlier your teammates. Let's talk about your line, Nick Waugh, Nick Cousins. It seems like you guys have really kind of, the three of you have blended so well together and have been able to be effective. What is it about those two guys that you like playing with?
I mean, first and foremost, their work ethic is unbelievable. I feel like we like to be a dominant force on the forecheck, and I think we've been able to do so. And then I think a lot of people undervalue their skill set too, their ability to play with the puck and make plays. And I think we've been able to do that, but also play smart at the same time, try to play with that defense first mentality and not give up too many opportunities, not turn too many pucks over. So I think that's been a huge part of our success. And the more we play together, I think the better our chemistry is becoming. So it's been a lot of fun, and they're two really good players. Like I said, they're undervalued and underappreciated, and I appreciate them a lot personally, and it's been good. We've been having fun, and yeah, it's been great.
Easy question. You got two Nicks. Which one talks more?
Definitely Nick Cousins.
Yeah, that was a pretty easy answer.
Obviously, English isn't his first language, but once you get him comfortable in a situation, you can get him. He can be a little bit of a chatterbox too, though. So it's good. Like I said, the communication's great. We're three very positive guys. If anyone has an issue, no one has any issue with someone saying, "Hey, you gotta do this better." I think we motivate each other. And like I said, it's an open line of communication, and there's a judgment-free zone with our line mates, and I think that's a huge part of having good chemistry is being able to talk to one another and kind of build off one another.
Alex, last one for you, the gaming part of it, Xbox. We know you like the gaming situation. On an off day, a non-game day. Average amount of hours a day you're spending gaming in the bubble?
You know what? In the beginning, it was a lot. I try not to get too out of control. On an off day, it depends, because I'm a big card player, too. I like cards. I like that strategy side of things. I've been playing poker and a couple other card games, too. But, I mean, probably 3 hours, maybe, depending on the on our schedule and how I'm feeling and stuff like that. And I've been trying to mix it up between cards and video games and Netflix and movies and stuff like that. So I stay kind of, I don't get bored, I guess you can say. So, I mean, you know what, I don't hate the bubble life, to be honest. It's I'm with some of my best friends, my teammates, and in a situation where there's a lot of hockey and video games and cards. So, taking a long, extended road trip, and hey, if you're playing the NHL, you know how fun those road trips can be.
Alex, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Good luck, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Alex.
Alex Tuck joining us from the bubble on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Radio Las Vegas.